The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will continue our readings from the book Pogue's Basics, Money, Essential Tips and Shortcuts That No One Bothers to Tell You About Money. And we will begin our episode today with Chapter 4 about house and home and ways to save. You already know the common wisdom about saving money on your house. Make sure it's insulated. Use double or triple pane windows. Plant shade trees. Save 1% on your utility bill for every degree you turn down the thermostat. But what about some of the lesser known, newer, sneakier ways to keep and save money? That's where this chapter comes in. How to become a cord cutter. Cable and satellite TV. The average American cable TV bill is $100 a month. Yours may be much higher. And that's only the beginning. Cable and satellite TV service goes up about 8% a year, much faster than inflation. Clearly, this is an area ripe for finding some savings. No wonder millions of people every year decide to, quote, cut the cord, to cancel their cable or satellite service completely. These days, there are two less expensive ways to get your TV shows and movies. Each involves compromises, and neither is as convenient or complete as a cable subscription. But saving $1,200 a year might help to ease your pain. The first method, get your TV from the Internet. Millions of people are perfectly happy to watch the TV shows and movies available from the Internet, whether it be Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Videos, HBO, and so on. You can watch them on a computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also watch them on your actual TV if you have a fairly recent model. It probably has apps for these services built right in. So do Blu-ray players and game consoles. If your TV doesn't offer Netflix, Hulu, and so on, you can always plug into a set-top box like a Roku streaming stick. You can get for around $50, Apple TV about $150, or Chromecast stick for $35. And it requires a smartphone as a remote control. These services cost money, but much less than a cable company package. For example, Netflix, starting as low as around $8 a month, brings you thousands of old movies and some recent ones, but it also has a gigantic vault of TV shows, complete seasons that finish their run on the big networks, such as The Office, Saturday Night Live, Mad Men, The Walking Dead, and so on. Netflix licensing deals are constantly changing, so a TV series or movie that's here now, it may be gone tomorrow. Netflix also produces its own shows, some of which are outstanding, House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, and so on. And Hulu, starting around $8 a month, offers various network shows online the day after they're broadcast on TV, from ABC, NBC, Bravo, Fox, Comedy Central, Discovery, Nickelodeon, and a few others. Usually only the most recent handful of episodes are available, not entire seasons, as on Netflix. CBS All Access. This gives you internet access to most of the stuff broadcast on CBS. Sling TV brings you CNN, ESPN, TNT, TBS, Disney, Food Network, ABC Family, Cartoon Network, HGTV, Lifetime, and others. Amazon Prime offers thousands of movies plus the TV shows produced by Amazon itself. HBO Now gets you access to HBO's movies, documentaries, and original series. Showtime Anytime is your internet source for Showtime's movies, boxing matches, and original series. And PlayStation View is an extra cost feature for Sony's PlayStation game console. It's almost like a little cable box offering CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, TNT, BET, Comedy Central, Food, HGTV, etc. Clearly, no one service offers everything you get with a cable package. In fact, once you add up all the services required for the channels you want, you may discover that sticking with cable or satellite winds up being less expensive. Internet TV services, therefore, save money only if you don't want all the channels of a cable or satellite package. And method number two, get your TV from an antenna. In the olden days, everybody got TV channels from an antenna bolted to the roof. Think of all those TV and movie scenes where the hapless suburban dad is on the roof adjusting the antenna little by little to produce the best picture on the TV in the living room. Now, that's comedy. Well, guess what? The TV network still broadcasts through the air. And you can still tune in to them with an antenna for free. They come in as great-looking, full high-definition signals. They're not compressed, degraded HD signals like the ones you get from cable and satellite. And they bring you live and local broadcasts like sports and news. None of the internet services listed above carries live shows. You don't have to mount an antenna on the roof anymore either. The best ones, the ones that tune in the greatest number of channels from the greatest distance, are still outdoor, roof-mounted models. But plenty of HD antennas are slightly weaker indoor models designed to sit next to the TV or preferably in a window. You can also install one in your attic, which is a happy medium for people. The antenna's hidden, it's easy to install, and it's protected from the weather, but it's higher and less blocked than the indoor models. Which stations you'll be able to get depends on where you live. Fortunately, a couple of handy websites lets you know which channels you'll get. AntennaWeb.org and TVFool.com. For best results, look this information up before you spring for a $60 antenna. The good news, 89% of all U.S. households can tune in to at least five channels over the air like this. If you want to record shows you get over the air, you'll need a special DVR like the one from Channel Master or TiVo. Getting going with an HD antenna does require reading some how-to articles online and maybe dedicating an afternoon to installation. But considering the boost in video quality you'll get and the thousands of dollars you'll save every year by canceling or downgrading your cable subscription, it might be worth a shot. And the projected savings ballpark is around $1,140 a year. And how about free solar panels? We all know that solar panels is neato. It's free, it's unlimited, and it's great for the environment. Who could object to a source of power that's as clean and natural as sunshine? If you live in a sunny climate, you should definitely explore solar, especially since you can get the panels and the power they generate at no cost. There are two ways to go about getting going with solar. You can buy the solar panels or rent them. You can buy the panels. Solar panels aren't cheap. Depending on the size of your house, you may pay $15,000 to $35,000 to buy and install them. Loans are available to help you buy the panels. The good news is, though, that you can get nearly half of that back in rebates and tax incentives. For example, the IRS will cheerfully refund 30% of your solar panel cost at tax time, thanks to the government's residential renewable energy tax credit. You may get further credits and refunds from your state government, local government, and utility company. Once the panels are in place, all the power they generate is free. Your house's value goes up as well. And this is cool. You can sell electricity back to your local power companies. They love paying for you for that power because they're required by law to generate some of their power from renewable sources like the ones on your roof. Every time your sunshine generates 1,000 kilowatt hours of power, you can sell what's called a Solar Renewable Energy Certificate, or SREC, to the power company for around $200. You may be able to sell, say, 10 of those annually, and that's a handy $2,000 a year, all thanks to Mother Nature. And the bottom line, in most cases, you'll recoup your expenditure long before the 25-year warranty expires. Free electricity, folks. You, however, are responsible for the maintenance or repairs that your magic free energy panels might require. Or you can rent the panels. Here's where things get exciting. Companies like Sunrun and Sun City would very much like to install solar panels on your roof for free. They take care of all the permits, design, repairs, upgrades, and maintenance. They'll even give you a phone app that lets you track how much power your panels are generating and how much money they're saving you. Why would those companies do something so wonderful for nothing? Are they completely nuts? Nope. They make money from this. They collect all those rebates and incentives for installation, and they get to collect all those solar renewable energy certificates we just talked about. They also charge you for electricity. You pay the solar company instead of the electric company in an arrangement known as a PPA, or power purchase agreement. Fortunately, you pay less than you did to the power company, and it's a fixed rate. No surprises each month. But meanwhile, you know that you're doing a great thing for the planet, you're saving money, and you've spent $0 to get the system. If you're tempted by the financial and environmental juiciness of solar but can't decide whether to buy or rent, there's a calculator here that will tell you which approach will save you the most money. That's at energysage.com/market/estimate. And the 20-year savings ballpark, wow, $65,000 if you own the panels, or a 20-year savings of $27,000 if you lease the panels. And peak and off-peak power, and when to run the dryer. You know about the laws of supply and demand, right? Things always cost more when they're in demand. The cost of a dozen roses doubles around Valentine's Day. Ticket prices at Disney theme parks shoot up on Saturdays and during school holidays. The cost of a ride in an Uber car doubles or triples at rush hour. Some prices that rise and fall with demand aren't so obvious. However, like electricity. Most electric companies can sell you power at tiered prices, that is. They're willing to charge less during periods of low demand. With these plans, electricity gets cheaper in the evening, and sometimes cheaper yet late at night, like after 9 p.m. If you're not even home during the day, you may as well take advantage of these plans and start saving money. That involves three steps. Find out what your utility's time of day plan is. Call them or visit their website. In most states, the plans are similar to that of PG&E. That's the California's utility, the country's largest electric company. If you're on their standard time of day plan, you'll discover that the price of power jumps up by about 25% between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. when most people are home. Switch to the time of day plan. For most electric companies, the time of day plan is one of several options you have to request it. Save power and money. Some of your home's biggest electricity gulpers run all the time, like refrigerators and water heaters, so there's not much you can do about when they run, but other power hounds are within your control. After heating and cooling, the biggest consumer of electricity in your home is your clothes dryer. Every load of clothes you wash and dry costs you about $1 in power. Well, guess what? It's easy enough to run your washer and dryer after 9 p.m. Same goes for your dishwasher, vacuum cleaner, dehumidifier, and electric car. If you can run or charge them after 9 p.m. or in the morning, you could save around 25%. And the overall savings ballpark projected is about $125 a year. The LED light bulb revolution. What is wrong with people? If they had any idea how great LED light bulbs are, they'd never buy any other kind of bulb again. LED bulbs turn on to full brightness instantly. They remain cool to the touch. They're hard to break and safety coated if they do. They work in the cold and in high humidity. They put out very little heat. Above all, since you've gone to the trouble of picking up a book about money, LED bulbs save you money, hand over fist, in two ways. 70% lower lighting bill. Incandescent bulbs are incredibly inefficient. They burn up 90% of their energy as heat, not light. No wonder an LED bulb needs only 30% as much juice. In other words, LED bulbs mean lower utility bills and a much smaller carbon footprint for your home. And they last 20 times longer. LED bulbs last 20 years or more. Yes, they cost more than traditional bulbs, maybe $5 for a 100-watt equivalent versus a dollar for an incandescent bulb. But practically speaking, you'll buy a new house before you have to buy a new LED bulb. LED bulbs also contain electronics, a fact that has sent clever inventors into overdrive. You can buy bulbs that change color, that contain wireless speakers, that turn themselves on and off on a schedule automatically, and you can control it all with a smartphone app. The old concerns about LED bulbs, color, and dimmability have long since been addressed. You can now buy them at whatever color temperature or color tone you want, and the package lets you know which ones are dimmable. The sooner you replace your house's bulbs with LED, the sooner you'll start saving money and seeing better. And the projected 10-year savings ballpark is around $900 savings in electricity, $60 in bulb replacements. Reusable gift wrap, like money in your bank. Must be nice to be in the gift wrap business. You're selling rolls of very cheap paper at a satisfying markup. It's made to be used only once, and then ripped up and thrown away. At that point, people have only one choice, to buy more. There are three annoying aspects to this cycle. First, you have to keep buying this stuff. Second, it's a fussy, time-consuming job to use it, to wrap up the presents with it. And third, it's not always a joyride for the recipient to open the package. Why do we wrap gifts anyways? To conceal what's inside until the big day of opening, of course. To preserve the surprise, preferably with an eye-catching and festive look. So here's the idea. Instead of buying rolls of gift wrap paper every year, buy a set of gift wrap bags. They look just like wrapping paper. They're printed with the same cheerful decorative patterns. but they're drawstring bags, draw ribbon bags, actually. You can get about 60 of them in sizes from tiny to enormous for around $12. And suddenly your wrapping job is easy peasy. You just drop the present into the bag and draw it tight with the ribbon handles. The results look just like a regular wrapped gift, but it's much easier to open. And here's the beautiful part. You don't throw it away. You reuse the same 60 bags year after year. You're doing a good deed for your time, your recipient's time, the environment, and your wallet. And the savings ballpark is around $15 a year. Dry your hands the 1890s way. According to legend, the Scott Paper Company of Philadelphia invented paper towels by accident. At the time, Scott was in the business of making toilet paper. But then, one fateful day in 1907, a railroad car arrived at the plant full of paper that was too thick to serve as toilet paper. Co-founder Arthur Scott didn't want to throw all of that away, so he cut it into squares and sold it to hotels and restaurants as a hygienic, disposable alternative to cloth towels in public restrooms. To this day, paper towels are great for mopping up spills that are too gross for wiping up with a sponge, pet messes, for example. They are not, however, any better than cloth hand towels for drying your hands. The old argument against hand towels, the one that author Scott had in mind, is that they spread germs from one hand wiper to another. But these days, who needs to dry their hands? People who have just washed them? Their hands are already clean. The bottom line, if you learn to dry your hands on a hand towel after washing them rather than ripping off a square of paper towel every time, you'll help both your bank account and the environment. And if that appeals to you, the savings ballpark is around $85 a year. Free fine art for your fine walls. Fine art is usually considered a wealthy person's game. A handsome original piece of art might cost hundreds or thousands of dollars plus $300 to get it custom framed. There is, however, a better way to get stunning artwork for nothing and to custom frame it for one-tenth as much as you'd expect. Step 1, get the free art. You can get the free art by visiting Flickr, Flickr.com, which is one of the Internet's largest repositories for spectacular photography. Search for the kind of imagery you're looking for, landscape, cityscape, trees, sunset, abstract, whatever. The search will unearth thousands of images that match your description. Now you want to find the free ones, the ones whose creators have already given permission for anyone to use their work in any way. To do that, click the Any License pop-up menu and choose All Creative Commons. Now you're looking at pictures that you're free to download and print. By the way, if you'd see an image you love that instead says All Rights Reserved, feel free to email the photographer and explain what you have in mind. Offer something. Maybe $20, as long as you're not using that picture for commercial use, like in an advertisement, you usually get an okay from the artist. Click the photo and inspect it and make sure that its resolution will be high enough for the print size you want. If its dimensions are in the mid-thousands, for example, you'll be in good shape. Download the file. And then step 2, move on to order the framed print. A number of websites offer professional printing and framing of any picture you send them. At mpix.com, for example, you can upload your photo, choose a frame type, specify final size, and order the whole thing. They'll print the photo on gorgeous paper and frame it for you in a couple of days. An 8 by 10 inch photo becomes an 11.5 by 13.5 inch frame print, and it costs only around $26. The final result looks exactly like most professional high-end photography and framing you could possibly buy. Nobody will ever know that your grand total expenditure was $26. And the projected savings ballpark is around $474 per framed print. Cool breeze on, air conditioner off. The air conditioner is a marvel, isn't it? Our sweltering ancestors toiling indoors in the steamy summer heat would have fallen down and worshipped it as a god. The air conditioner is also, however, a massive power hog. During periods of great summer hotness, its appetite can account for half of your electric bill. No other appliance comes even close. Air conditioners alone consume 5% of all of the electricity in America. Exactly how much it costs to run the AC depends on the size of your house, the power of the unit, the temperature and the humidity outside, the setting you've dialed up, and the current price of electricity, and so on. But just for kicks, here's a typical example. A central air conditioning using 900 kilowatt hours a month will cost you $120 a month. A window air conditioning running 6 hours a day, or 270 kilowatt hours, will cost $35 a month. If you're not the only one at home, if you're sharing the space with other hot people, then running the AC makes sense. But if it's just you sitting at a desk or you and another person sleeping in a bed, then a fan is an enormous money saver. It can keep you comfortable, but it costs you next to nothing. Maybe a penny an hour. A fan cools you in two ways, by pushing your own body heat away from your skin and evaporating the sweat off your skin, which has a cooling effect. A ceiling fan set on high running for 12 hours a day will cost you maybe $3.50 a month. That's one-tenth as much as a window air conditioner, or 3% as much as central air. And a desk fan, of course, saves you even more. Savings ballpark there is around $226 a month. I'm sorry, $226 a year. That would be nice if it were per month. Well, we're out of time again for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.